He's heating up! He's on fire! Pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Wins the game at the buzzer!
What's good, Crypto Ballers? Money1834 here, checking in on Wednesday, November 17th. This is episode 103 of Crypto Ballers, and we got a special one for you today. I am joined by NFL Network's own Michael Florio, a teammate of mine over at 32Bit, website coming soon. Today, Michael joins me as we draft our NFL DFS crypto contest for week 11. We go head-to-head style, a lot of fun, and that just means for you guys out there, the listeners, if you want to participate in that DFS crypto contest, make sure you go ahead and send me a DM on Twitter at CryptoBallersTS. You're not only going to have to try to get through me this week, you're going to have to get through Michael Florio as well. Michael and myself were fired up right from the jump. As soon as we hit record, we were already going. We had that Buffalo-New England rivalry going. It was a lot of fun. So enjoy the podcast. Cue the music. Let's get right into it.
Just hit a button, Morty. Give me a beat.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
For those of you at home listening, not familiar with what we're doing, Michael and I... Oh, first of all, Michael, thanks for coming on the show, right? I didn't even give you an introduction. I just got all fired up when I saw the Bills stuff behind you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, we've basically spent the last 10, 15 minutes or so just talking Bills Patriots and how it's cute that the Patriots fans now think they have a chance to win the AFC East this year, because everyone knows the AFC East is still running through Allentown.
Cute. He says it's cute. You know, I'm gonna put some of that audio in the back of the show so people can hear what we're talking about.
I am gonna take it all back if the Pats beat the Bills, but I'm showing off some confidence in Josh Allen for now.
Well, I appreciate the confidence. I don't know if anyone can be as confident as my guy Mac Jones right now. But you know what? While we're drafting our teams, we'll see where your confidence lies. Because the first position we're drafting is quarterback, and your boy is the most expensive guy. So I'm curious to see if you're willing to pay that price tag. So for those of you listening at home, welcome to the Crypto Ballers podcast. Michael and I are going to be drafting our NFL DFS crypto contest for week 11. It's crazy how we're already in week 11.
For real.
So how we're going to do this is our crypto contest. We do them every Sunday for the NFL, and we play for NBA Top Shot Rewards, which is always fun. When the NFL/Dapper Labs project launches, we're going to be playing for some NFL NFTs as well. So stay tuned for that. The rumor is the NFL Dapper Labs project should be coming this season. So make sure you're paying attention. Follow both of us on Twitter at CryptoBallsTS. Michael, what's your handle so they can follow you?
At Michael F. Florio. Two F's in there. Sorry to make it a little annoying, but it's simple enough.
All right. Two F's. Remember that. Now, today we're going to do things a little bit differently. So Michael and I will be drafting our own teams, and we're going to talk through the process, who we like, who we don't like, some salaries that might be turning us off, some matchups that we might, you know, prefer. Now, so that makes it difficult for you guys, the community, the listeners, because not only are you going to have to beat me, which hasn't been much of a problem for a lot of you guys, my teams have been struggling, but you got to beat Michael as well. And this guy knows what he's doing. I'm telling you.
Sometimes.
So we're going to be drafting a partial lineup. As Michael was saying, we're going to draft one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, and a tight end to try to avoid some duplicate lineups. So you're going to be on your own for your wide receiver three, your defense, your flex. So with that being said, Michael, if you're ready, you're the guest of honor. I think I'm going to throw it to you. Which quarterback are you drafting for your team?
I did consider my boy Josh Allen, but like you said, he was the most expensive. So I tried to get away from him a little bit. I went down. There was a point where I was like, I'm cool with all of these quarterbacks. Let me go with the cheapest one. And the cheapest one was Ryan Tannehill at $6,700. Tannehill has had to throw more lately because no Derrick Henry. Dante Foreman, Adrian Peterson, they're trying their best, but they are clearly having to throw the ball more in Tennessee. And it's a favorable matchup against the Houston Texans. What I also like about Ryan Tannehill is we're getting more finger rolls from him lately with no Derrick Henry, because they've been struggling to have the running backs punch it in. So maybe we get another finger roll out of him today. So, well, on Sunday. So I went with the cheaper option in a still a very good matchup in Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, see, I actually like that play a lot. And in full transparency, I actually had Tannehill in there, my quarterback as well.
Oh, did you?
But I will not copy you. All right. I will find somebody else so we don't have duplicates there. But Tannehill at home against Houston, like, it is such a good matchup. Like, I don't see how he doesn't get like at least 20 fantasy points. But like you were saying, that group of quarterback, and I apologize if you hear any squeaking in the background. I got my dog over here, and every single time, the listeners know this at home, as soon as I sit down in this chair and I start talking into this microphone, he comes over and he starts chewing the most obnoxious toys of all time.
Don't worry. My dog, Callie, I had to tuck her in the bedroom for this right now, because if I don't, she does the same exact thing. She will right at my feet and chew squeak toys or anything. So I get it. I get the struggle.
So what kind of dog do you have?
She's a pit bull boxer mix, but she's a 40-pound little blonde thing of pure energy.
Okay. See, I got a husky pit bull mix. Okay. He's about nine. He's 1 year old. He's about 90 pounds. And this dude is a beast. So I can't really, you know, trap him in any rooms, because we have those baby gates up. So like to try to block off some rooms, and he can just one hop them and just leap over them. And we can't go up any higher, or like my wife won't be able to get in the room. You know what I mean?
At 90 pounds, he could probably just run right through that. Derrick Henry, that geek.
Yeah, he could absolutely Derrick Henry it, but don't say that too loud, because I don't want him to overhear it. He's currently laying down chewing on the squeaky toy, but he's grabbing the non-squeak part. So I'm going to try to get away with that. All right, so at quarterback, there is a couple of options in that range that I like. I feel they're a little more risky. Now, I had a notion to go Carson Wentz at Buffalo. Okay, Wentz has been on fire, but Buffalo's defense is really good. I probably should have told you to cover your ears before giving the Bills any kind of credit. I don't want to do that, but I was considering Carson Wentz because he's so cheap. He's 5.5K. That is insane. So you know what? I just talked myself into it on the air. I'm going Carson Wentz at Buffalo at quarterback, 5.5K. Hard to beat. He doesn't need to do much to pay off that salary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think in like, this is a 50-man contest. I think in a tournament like this, that's in a cash game, I wouldn't feel comfortable with him in that matchup. But in a tournament like this, I think it's, I considered him as well because of the cheap price point.
Yeah, I feel like if I run into anyone in this contest that has Carson Wentz at quarterback, it's because they listened to me just talk myself into it. I don't know who else in their right mind would be like, oh yeah, Carson Wentz on the road in Buffalo. Like, I don't know how many people are saying that, but I'm willing to take a shot on it.
There you go.
Or maybe it's because I just see all the Buffalo stuff behind you. I'm like, yeah, Carson Wentz, we can handle that. All right, why don't you talk me through your running back process? Now, remember, only picking one of them. So who are you going to choose? There's a lot of high, you know, really expensive players on this slate.
Yeah, I decided to pay up for my running backs this week. But if we're only going to talk about one, I'm going to talk about the higher priced one. This might have to change if he doesn't play this week. But it's early in the week. I'm thinking he is going to play. It's Nick Chubb here, because the Browns are taking on the Detroit Lions, who give up the most touchdowns to running backs by far. And I think this is a game where if Nick Chubb is back off the COVID list, he could get 30 touches. Like, I think the Browns clearly need a win. We know how much the Lions struggle against the run. So I think we'll get a lot of Nick Chubb. And what I like is before Chubb landed on the COVID list, he was getting more utilization in the passing game with Kareem Hunt sidelined. So he could even give us, you know, 4 or 5 targets, something like that. So I think the matchup and the play was just too good. And 7,800, he is not the most expensive running back out there. There's quite a few that are more. So I thought getting a little bit of a discount for still a high-end RB1 was worth the shot.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because you were just on fire right now. That's two guys that we would have already had duplicates
you
of.
You had Chubb too?
I had Chubb too at home against Detroit. Like, absolutely.
How can you say no?
Yes, but I am going to say no, or maybe I'm just going to have him as my RB2 and no one's going to hear me admit to that. So the running back that I'm going to choose now, I might have a little bias here. Okay. Now I'm a New England guy, but here's the interesting thing. My favorite running back in the NFL is not on New England. And he's a guy that I feel like a lot of people were kind of sleeping on, especially come draft season, because he's pissed off a lot of fantasy owners over the years. And it's my guy, Joe Mixon. I can't describe, and I can't explain why I'm such a Joe Mixon fan. I feel like he's let me down more times than he's helped me. But he, this season, he's been involved in the passing game. You know what I mean? They finally got Giovanni Bernard out of town. And I believe on the season, he's like RB3 right now. He's been stellar. So I'm going to take a shot. Now, it is on the road, but it's against the Raiders. I'm not afraid of the Raiders defense. I think it's going to be a shootout with Cincinnati. And I'm going to predict that Joe Mixon gets in the end zone at least once. So I'm going to go Joe Mixon as my first running back off the board.
I like it. I did consider him there as well. I couldn't get him in as my RB2 because if I have Chubb, it's a little bit too expensive to get them both. But I like Mixon. And I know we're not giving away our RB2, but I did pay up for one. But I still feel like the guy I paid up for at a discount, just giving a little hint at who it might be.
Okay, I like that. A little tease. Can't wait to see who you end up going with. All right, let's move over to the next position. Now, we're going to be taking two wide receivers. So I'll let you go first. You take one, I take one, then back to you, back to me.
So my guy, I am someone who, if I'm making a DFS lineup, especially in a tournament like this, a 50-man contest, I like to have a stack. So Ryan Tannehill was my QB1. So my RB1 is his wide receiver one. I mean, my wide receiver one is his wide receiver one, AJ Brown. I know it was a disappointment for Brown this past week, just 5 targets, only 1 catch. I thought he was in a spot where he could have saw 15 targets. I think something like that is possible every week now with Julio Jones sidelined. I know the Saints were able to take AJ Brown out of that game, but they have Lattimore and a lot of other talented pieces there that the Houston Texans just simply don't have. So I think in a matchup like this, the Titans are going to want to get AJ Brown right. I think we're going to see a lot of Tannehill to AJ Brown, and I'm hoping for like 2 scores out of him because then it gives me 2 scores for my quarterback as well.
All right. Now, I like that play. Now, I had a similar structure to my lineup where I didn't want to have my quarterback without a stack. So having Carson Wentz, which I already don't feel that great about now that I'm saying it so much, I had to pair him with his number one guy, Michael Pittman Jr. Now, he's a beast. Michael Pittman Jr., in 8 of his last 9 games, this dude has had double-digit fantasy points. And I see the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have a really good defense. I see them so focused on stopping Jonathan Taylor. I believe that they do not want the Colts just to run it down their throat, because I feel like that's what the Colts, when you go against the Colts, that's what you plan on. You have to stop Jonathan Taylor. I think it's going to free up Pittman a lot. I think he's going to be heavily targeted, and I just need him to catch like 6 of his 12 targets, get in the end zone, and call it a day. So I'm going to go with Michael Pittman to stack with Carson Wentz. All right, kicking it back to you. Who is your wide receiver too?
I love the Pittman play, by the way, because even if the Bills secondary, he can go up and make a grown man type catch. But because I have AJ Brown and Nick Chubb and Ryan Tannehill, I said I paid up a little bit for my RB2. I was getting a little low on funds now, so I had to go a little bit cheaper. And I was pleasantly surprised to see T. Higgins at 5,400. Higgins is someone against the Raiders, like you said earlier, I'm not really that afraid of the Raiders defense, especially in the secondary. I think Joe Burrow is going to have to throw a little bit in this game. I like the mix and play as well, but we know that Burrow is going to be throwing the ball. And if he's throwing it, it's pretty much gone to Jamar Chase or T. Higgins as of late. Higgins had that game where he had like 13 targets. He's also the Bengals' preferred red zone option. So when they get near the paid, I know Jamar Chase leads them in touchdowns, but it's because he scores them like 80 yards at a time. Mm-hmm. When they get close to the goal line and they're throwing the ball, it goes T. Higgins' way. So at 5,400, I think he could be a nice return on investment, especially if he could find the end zone.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting play. Now, Jamar Chase will be runner-up rookie of the year behind only Mac Jones. Just wanted to throw that in there. Now, I kind of feel like I went a little chalky on this next pick. I kind of paid up for my next wide receiver. I'm going with the man who put up 30 fantasy points just last night. It's going to be Deebo Samuel. Now, Deebo Samuel is going against the Jaguars. I know the Buffalo Bills had a really hard time stopping the Jaguars. I believe you guys lost to them, actually. But Deebo Samuel
reminded me.
Oh, no problem. That's what I'm here for. So the Deebo Samuel has been like a renaissance year for him. He has been absolutely on fire. I believe he's the wide receiver 1 on the season. And for me personally, now this isn't even the DraftKings contest related. This is just fantasy football related. I was such a big Deebo Samuel fan 2 years ago. I was like, this dude is taking the lead by storm. He's phenomenal. And then I drafted so heavily into his next year, which was last season. and it was a total bust. The dude could not stay on the field. When he was on the field, he wasn't doing anything. So I avoided him like the fucking plague this year. And oh my God, is it frustrating to watch this guy tear it up every Sunday? It is like, I don't have him anywhere. This is my chance to get him. So I'm putting Deebo Samuel in this lineup, goddammit, and I'm going to feel good about it.
For what it's worth, I tried so hard to be able to fit him into my lineup because, like you said, like the Jaguars, and not only is he going to get all of the targets there and we know what he's going to do after the catch, but even if they're winning big, like they give him carries as well. Yep. So he's almost like an extension of the running game with the style of passes he get as well. I really wanted to get him in, but I couldn't fit both of my top wide receivers. So I chose to go with the stack. But man, Deebo seems like a great play this week. I mean, he's a great play every week, but especially this week.
Yeah, against the Jaguars. Just like as soon as I saw that, I was scrolling on the screen, and as soon as like my finger was on Deebo and I went to go scroll him up, like my finger wouldn't come off of it. It was like stuck. And it's like, no, this, I have to take him. Like, why am I scrolling past Deebo right now? So feeling pretty good about that one. All right. So why don't you start with your tight end and then we'll wrap it up. So are you going to try to save some money at tight end? You're going to pay up for Kelce. It's really Kelce or you're going to pay down. So I'm curious to see where you're going.
I'm saving money here, and I'm going with not a big name at all, but someone who is consistently productive week in and week out, Dan Arnold. I mean, 4,100 for, I feel like you had Dan Arnold as your tight end because you just looked down.
I did. I had Dan Arnold too. God damn it.
Man, maybe I'm going too chalky or something if we're building similar plays, but.
You know what? Next time we do this, I'm going first.
So I'll be frantically trying to change my lineup. The thing of, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Dan Arnold, since the Jags acquired him, he has the most targets on the team. He has at least 5 targets in 5 straight games, which is a pretty safe floor for a tight end. 7 or more targets in 4 of those. And in those 4 games, over double-digit fantasy points in each. So I think he's got a safe floor of like 10, 11, 12 fantasy points. And at 4,100, like 12 fantasy points is 3Xing. So I think I'd be okay with that. And if, let's say he can ever find the end zone, then the upside is even higher. So I think Dan Arnold is a good cheap play way to save money and get some bigger names in elsewhere.
Definitely a cheap play. Definitely a good play. I agree with you there. And I feel like when you're in the NFL, the National Football League, and you have a name like Dan Arnold, I feel like people are going to overlook you. It's the most boring name like of all time. Dan Arnold. Like, who feels great about rostering Dan Arnold? But the numbers don't lie. This dude should be rostered. Like, he's in a really good
Arnold
spot.
To Darnold connection for a little bit. And then after that, everyone was like, oh, well, Dan Arnold's done. And it's like, well, he's actually the better one of the two. Like, that you should care about for fantasy.
Yeah, no, he really is. All right. So I had to pivot yet again.
Stole your whole team.
Yeah, so we were picking what, 5 positions, and I think we matched on like 3 of them already.
Yeah,
so I had to pivot, but I'm not necessarily mad at it because I think I'm getting Dan Arnold upside, and I'm saving a couple $100 by doing so. I'm gonna go with Minnesota Vikings Tyler Conklin. Now, Tyler Conklin, he's not heavily targeted, but he's averaging over the last 3 contests, he's averaging about 5, which for a cheap tight end, only 3.9K, you take 5 targets. And then when the Vikings are in the red zone, Dalvin Cook's been struggling to get it in there. Kirk Cousins hasn't been that great. The team's a double in Jefferson. Thielen's always a touchdown threat. But Conklin seems to be a red zone target. He's coming off a 2 touchdown week, and at only 3.9K, it saves you some salary that you can spend up elsewhere and feel good about your team. So I will see your Dan Arnold, and I will raise you a Tyler Conklin.
I feel like we're the pointing Spider-Man gifts because the other tight end that I consider Dawson Knox as well, just because he's always the bet for a touchdown. But Conklin was the other one. Like, I continue to write these two up every week in waiver wire articles, and I'm like, just these guys need to be like, take notice of what they're doing. It's I know they're not a big sexy name or anything, but at tight end, like you said, 5 targets is useful either in seasonal and especially in daily when they come with this low price.
Yeah, and a full point PPR, like if your tight end can have like a 3 or 4 point baseline just on catches, that's already a win, because there's some tight ends out there that can get you a 0 and it can be really frustrating. So I'd rather go, you know, the cheaper route and just have like a five target security blanket and just hope that he catches three or four of them. That's all you can do. And a touchdown's great. If your tight end gets a touchdown, like, you have a chance to win the whole contest, I feel like.
And Conklin's got a chance to get two, as we saw last week. So
chance to get two. I like that. All right, Michael Florio, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I appreciate your time. I hope that the Bills lose this weekend. And and I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Likewise to all of that, except for the Bills losing. I mean, naturally, I'm going to say I hope the Patriots lose. And then we could all joke about how we thought at one point you guys had a shot at winning the AFC East.
Or we can joke about how you thought that you had it all wrapped up. You guys were 5-1, and now all of a sudden the Patriots are right there. Mac Jones, baby. Let's go.
It's fun, if nothing else.
Absolutely fun. All right, Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to doing this again.